Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And I might even add that we're even fighting the Uniparty, the establishment between the Democrats as well as the Republicans. However, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the show that you're expecting to hear. This is the show that will tell you what we need to do, and this is the only show that actually has the tangible and constitutional solution in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution and operating within the framework of the Constitution as well. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And so I will kind of give you a heads up. I don't know how everybody else did, but I do know that there's kind of like the change of seasons going around. And I know as you look at the map, you can see a sundry of different types of weather forecasts for different parts of the United States. But those who are in those changing weather patterns, be careful. The cold and flu is already out. I think I might be coming down with a cold myself just because it is a little chillier. Our temperature dropped from like 108 down to 80 down to like the 60s. So anyway, this show is dedicated, as you know, to the state legislators who are willing to commit. We need 5,445 total to get them all on board. I only need a majority in each state, so that doesn't mean I need half, but I need to get a majority in each state. There are some states that there's just no way we'll get a majority. I'm ready to consign the fact that New York and Hawaii and California and maybe a couple of other states, we just consider those the lost states. However, they will be forced either to come to the table or they will risk themselves in jeopardizing their relationship with the union as something not necessarily good for them. So anyway, I think it's really important that we focus on educating them. When I talk to a lot of people go, well, there's just so many people we've got to get this message to. There's only 5,445 out of 300 and some odd million people. That's a very, very, very small fraction. I mean, that's a fraction of a fraction, right? And so to help focus this message, if you happen to be living in a state and you're one of the few leaders or champions for liberty, and you get on board with this, by all means, you can be that annoying gnat. You can be that bee in their bonnet and, you know, making them painfully aware of the fact that they have a job to do. And that's what our job is as leaders. We need to get them motivated and educated to lead in doing those things that they need to do and getting the federal government back into check. Because when these legislators stand up against federal tyranny, that means that they're standing up for all of us. That's why we all need to really get behind this. A part of this dedication for this show and my efforts also goes out to those leaders at the state and grassroots levels down to the county and so forth. And that really does come down to the party, even though there are a lot of other grassroots organizations. It is the party where the rubber is really hitting the road. And we have already ran into, and we're really starting to peel back the onion and seeing just how policies, bylaws, and other things have been implemented within a lot of these red states that, you know, really tie the party's hands and going, you got to be kidding me. So I think the party leadership is really waking up and saying, okay, there's certain things that we have to go after. We have to get our legislators to change some laws. We need to change bylaws, and we need to start, you know, freeing ourselves, because we can no longer afford to have our ties hand by the progressives. And so I just want you to know that we are working with those because they're going to be critical in identifying those critical replacements for those state legislators who we may not be able to motivate. I mean, bottom line, there are those who are, you know, they're dead set in what they want to do and what they're going to do. And so that's why we have to invoke the party grassroots players to ensure that when their time comes up for the next election, that they will not be getting the Republican Party endorsement, but what they will be getting is a notice that they need to find a job elsewhere and that somebody else will be replacing them. And I've actually got some great policies, or actually I should say some ideas and some stories of how this should and could go. But anyway, for those of you who have not had a chance to listen to a lot of my podcasts, I would tell you that some of the stuff I'm covering, I actually covered before. The reason I'm covering them again is just due to the fact that this is important stuff and we need to kind of go over it. And I know that every time I take a look at something, usually it's from a different angle and we have a better picture or a different picture that helps you kind of clarify or see something that you might have missed before. So sometimes it's important to go over those things. But if you want to go through my podcast, you can download them from reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that would be on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. Now, there's several reasons why you'd want to download them. And one is that this is the only show that's actually providing you the solutions and how we weave that in and out of the show and message and so forth. You'd probably find it important. The content on the show also refers to content on previous shows. So for another reason, you want to be able to understand what I am either referencing or sub-referencing and so forth. So it is helpful to become a little bit smarter on what we have been talking about since this show's launch at the beginning of the year. And bear in mind, a lot of the content, if not most all of the content, is really not ephemeral. It is not temporary, and or it is not based on the events of the day. There may be news items that I may cover, but it really is more of a perspective of constitutionality and how it fits or doesn't fit with things like the deep state and so forth. And so the content on the show will really, I believe, stand the test of time. It will maintain its relevance, whether that be this year, next year, or 50 years down the road. And so I think that if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and just download my podcast, I think you'll probably find that there is a lot of really good information there for you to digest. Now it's my favorite time of the show. It's when I get to grovel a little bit and to let you know that Washington could not fight the revolution on his own. And as a matter of fact, thank God they didn't have tax write-offs back in those days. You know, it was truly a sacrifice. It's funny and it's sad. So it's kind of a little irony here, because there are people that may have businesses that could easily write off and support, you know, conservative causes like this. And there's even ways for people with conservative ideals to hide their, you know, their direct support. In other words, they may not, you know, necessarily have their commercials out there. They may not have, if they want to, they can have their commercials on, you know, in a generic space, like on my local shows or what have you. But that being said, not only do you get a chance to support this, you get hopefully return on your investment. And hopefully, even if you don't get a return on your investment, it's really supporting it's the only cause out there that's going to save our Constitution. I beg to differ with anybody if they think that there is some other way that is going to do this. That being said, the fact is that if you do advertise, you do have a business, then you actually get to write that off as well. And I find it ironic that Washington didn't have any of these types of leverages and or luxuries. It was really an ideological war, and either you were going to get behind this or we were going to be dealing with, you know, the tyranny of Britain. And I'm telling you right now, if you go in contrast to what the framers were dealing with Britain in their trenches, you know, basically quartering themselves in houses and so forth, it was not affecting a lot of people. That's why there was a very small percentage of the folks in those colonies that were really on board with fighting the war. And it's pretty sad that he didn't get more. But it's even sadder today with history and everything else that we know what's coming down the pike. And there's so few people that are getting behind this. Now, there are a couple of factors involved in this. And one of those factors is I call the Trump effect or the Reagan effect. Whenever you think you've got a good guy in there, oh, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that. I'm telling you, he may be buying his time, but that is it. The next tyrant that goes into that White House Oval Office, believe you me, they will unleash the fury and they will reutilize all the old tools, the deep state and everything else that they have gone after conservative causes like the IRS and so forth. And they will stifle us and shut us out and shut us down. And so that's why it's paramount. If we don't start getting organized, I don't think we have a lot of time. I forecast that we have 2 to 5 years. And so if you want to get involved, if you've got a phone, you got a computer, you can even help personally. If you have a business, there's other ways you can help as well. But with that, I'm at a hard break. And so I will be right back. And hopefully this frog in my throat will go away. Like I said, I think I've come down with something. But anyway, I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least 2 ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was just saying before the break, and hopefully this frog, like I said, would go away, but I don't think so. I think I've got a new pet, and so I might have to come up with a name for this frog. Anywho, as I always do, I did check the news, and even though there is just a lot of nothing news out there, but there seems to be a lot of just more and more buzz and more feeding on nothing regarding the what's going on in the White House and what's going on with the conservative causes and so forth. I would think, though, that if everybody recognizes just how much scrutiny and how much the establishment has its scope and sights set on President Trump and anybody that's conservative, before it becomes an all-out march against constitutionalists, because that day may be coming soon, my friends, it'll almost be like the same as back in Christ's time when the Romans actually waged war, and they, if you were caught as a Christian, they would kill you. And that's really what created that the fish symbol for Christianity, so that people would be able to differentiate whether they were Christian or not without having to tip their hand, because if they found out that they were Christian, they would be killed. And so what's important is that we still have a little bit of time. We still have some levels of protection that the Constitution is affording us. But I honestly see the day will come when talking about and mentioning the Constitution will almost be treasonous, if you can fathom that. That's where we're going, because the government does not like, and those bureaucrats and those elitists in the government do not like the concept that they have to be holding to a piece of paper, a parchment. They are duly elected and they're in charge. And believe you me, I've had my share of interviews with politicians that seem to have this autocratic mind model that says, you know, I'm going to be the guy in charge or gal in charge, and I'm going to do it my way. And I guess that they tend to forget this little misnomer about our form of government. And you'll find it actually in that one document I'm going to talk about, and I talk about a lot. The Constitution is Article 4, Section 4. We're a representative government. We're a Republican form of government, and we have two forms of representatives. We don't have kings. We don't have monarchs. We don't have despots. But we've been getting nothing but kings since Andrew Jackson in the White House. And if we're going to change that, if we're going to start moving back towards a constitutional republic, there's only one process in doing that, and that's getting the federal government to comply, and that's getting each of the branches to function within their scope and within those constitutional boundaries. And so welcome aboard. I really do appreciate, because the one thing that you can do in helping is you can continue to tune in, and you can continue to get other people informed about this show. There is no doubt in my mind, as I walk people through the ABCs of the audit and Republic review and forcing the states to step in and going through their contract and reviewing it, there is no doubt in my mind that the states actually possess that power to literally force the federal government back into that framework. And regarding news, though, this Omarosa Newman, or Miss Three Names, I guess, because everybody likes to call her by her full name, I don't understand why she has not been arrested and charged and thrown into a federal holding center where she has no access to the paparazzi as well as the deep state and so forth. I do not understand this. This woman should be arrested and charged with violating the security policies of national security. The fact that she has all of these recorded conversations in the White House. I'm telling you, having a clearance and understanding that you go to jail, you go and the next thing you're going to be doing is breaking big rocks into little rocks and making those little rocks into sand. And then somebody goes over and forms that sand into big rocks again. And then you break them down. And there's probably nothing more morale crushing than seeing that whole process as it works through. I guess you, when you've been there long enough and you're so broken down that you actually get to operate the machinery of making the sand into the big rocks again. But anyway, Omarosa should be arrested. There's no doubt in my mind she violated national security procedures. it doesn't really matter what she has in those recordings. Those recordings were illegally done, and it boggles my mind. I know lots of people who have security clearances that are going, really? Are all of these rules that we're being held to just a facade? Or is it just that certain people get a complete pass because of what they're doing and who they're going after? I'm telling you, my friends, that as we talk about the scale of liberty, and I've talked about this several times, there's two diametrically opposing forces on the scale of liberty. There is the force of full liberty. Those people who are in congruence and in harmony with everybody having the freedom of choice, having the responsibility and accountability for their actions and decisions, and therefore, you know, we move forward in a very symbiotic relationship in our society, and literally it promotes all sorts of things, from wealth, spirituality, and all sorts of things. And that society does not want anybody to be compelled. And on the far end of this scale of liberty is the ideology of subjugation, force, and compelling. And the reason why there is this tolerance towards the violation of these laws is because any means necessary to further their cause. They want anybody and everybody to break every law possible because they're not about laws. They're only going to be using the laws for their cause, for their needs. And they're going to go after anybody and everybody who does not align with them. I've told you their concept of, well, we'll have to agree to disagree, is only a buying time measure until either they can pummel you to your death or get rid of you somehow by burying you. They have nothing but a scorched earth mentality. They have no tolerance, and they want you dead. Or you get on board with them, and you become a part of their team, and you tote their line. That's it. It's just like Islam. What we're talking about, subjugationists, this is evil, this is Satanism, this is Islam, this is communism, whatever you want to define this as, this is the dark side of life. This is the dark side of humanity, where people do whatever it is they want to further their cause and to whatever that pleases them, and they're not bound by any moral laws, moral conscience, or anything. And they are wired that way. They are more than willing to see people die and to see people suffer. They don't care. It is a necessary means for them to accomplish their means. And that's what they're all about. It's all about getting their end goal. Remember, it's two steps forward, one step back. They never give up any ground. And as a matter of fact, when they take that one step back, it is a calculated one step back. And so, anyway, so as we kind of look at this Omarosa thing, if you're not demanding it, everybody should just start singing, you know, put her in jail, shut her up and put her in jail, because that's exactly what we need to be doing. I'll also say that one more thing before I get into the 17th Amendment, because I promised we'd get into this. We really need to drop all of our international entity relationships. It has gotten to a point where the UN and all the eyes out there, whether it's the International Criminal Court, the IMF, and we're funding all of this crap. We need to pull out. We need to basically say, we're done. What we've been doing, and the reason we've been subsidizing communism around the world, is so that we could slowly, slowly work ourselves down to a weakest point to where we collapse. I think it's time, if we get rid of the UN and we stop paying for the UN to being here and for all of their stupid agendas, getting rid of the IMF, the ICC, and all of these other I entities and international courts and so forth, I'm telling you that we would be able to save not only billions of dollars, but we would also basically get our enemies outside of us. And so we could at least start, at least hopefully, purging the ranks. And then when we go through these deep states like Strzok and those types of people, as they get flushed out, We need to go after them with not the scorched earth, but we need to go after them and deport them, get them out of here. We do not need enemies of our state and of our liberties anymore. We've had, I think, more than enough, and I think it's time that we actually move forward on the basis of liberty and allow those people to go freely and live in China, Russia, wherever they want to live. We're no longer going to reward them. We're no longer going to subsidize communism in the world. We've got to call an end to this. And so I think that right there would be really, really critical. When we get back, I'm going to talk about virtue, and then we'll go into the 17th Amendments, because I can see I'm right up on a hard break right here. And so, like I said, we were talking about virtue that Madison was talking about in the ratification debates, and I want to get into what he means by that, and then we'll get into the 17th Amendment. And hopefully we'll have time for some more ratification debate highlights for you out of Virginia. But we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Yes. And so if you do want to call in, by all means, what I was reading last out of the, the ratification debates, it was a quote from Madison. And Madison was talking about that people have virtue and intelligence, and that we needed to select men and women of virtue and wisdom. And he asked the question, is there no virtue among us? And I want to be clear that the government that they instilled did not have any mechanism where they could use the public purse to be able to do anything for the people as far as general welfare or anything. What has happened is they perverted and subverted the Constitution to actually allow them to start utilizing unconstitutionally the public purse to be able to buy entitlements, handouts, and so forth. And when they did that, they actually removed virtue from service within Congress and within all of these governments that are allowing the public purse to buying indolence by votes. So when Madison was speaking on virtue during the ratification debates, virtue was not kowtowing to a specific demographic, trying to go after a voter block and saying, we're going to do this for you. We're going to give you this. Virtue has nothing to do with trying to buy votes. As a matter of fact, buying votes is illegal and it's immoral. And so when a candidate gets up and says, we're going to use the public purse to provide you with health care, to provide you with these things, that tantamount to immorality and illegality in promising, making campaign promises in a quid pro quo, because if you vote for me, I'm going to give you this. But somehow we do not go after that. Somehow we have lost our compass because we've allowed this to happen, because you know what? Everybody wants something for them. Oh, well, you know, you're going to bring home this pork barrel project and we're going to have federal dollars infused, but all the time we're just going to rack up more and more debt. But that's okay. That's okay because it's just money, right? They can just print more of it. Who among us has virtue? Are you going to stand up and actually start demanding that your federal representatives stop bringing home unconstitutional money? Are you going to start standing up and demanding that your state representatives stop allowing grants and federal dollars to come in and tie their hands so that they can get a little bit of spending money so that they can buy your vote? Because that's what they've been doing. They've been buying everybody's vote any which way and every way possible as we continually put more and more rope around our neck with debt and ties, strings, regulations, and those types of things that literally tie our hands and bound each state and each local government, such as the counties and so forth, from being able to unleash their economic engines. The West side of this United States has so much property that has been taken unconstitutionally from them that if they had that property back, they would be able to unleash all sorts of resources and actually get a booming economy. Every single regulation that is holding them back and every single federal usurpation or occupation of land and everything else is all unconstitutional. There's nobody that can refute this. It is that simple. Are you willing to start honing and start developing virtue again? Are we willing to stand up and demand that we want virtue? Because that's what we have to do. If you are okay with your employer walking all over your employment contract, then that's okay. But I think it's important that we start upholding our contracts and those very precious and sacred contracts that are safeguarding our liberty, which is our Constitution. Remember, it is a contract, and we need it to be cherished, and we need it to be honored and obeyed by those people who are representing us. And so I think it's really important. I'm poking myself in the eye because there are things that Social Security is going to be coming up for me in a few years. Am I going to actually be in a position where I have to take it? My wife and I are working very hard to try to save money and try to put ourselves in a position where we do not have to take a penny of Social Security. We want to make sure that we preserve this nation, and we need other people like us to, you know, I know people that do not need Social Security, but they're on principle because they paid into it. They're taking it. It's unconstitutional money. We've got to fix this. And the dialogue in fixing this is trying to make sure that we take care of those who really need it and make sure that we get back to those who put into what they put into. But we have to actualize the cost. And Milton Friedman, go read his Free to Choose. He kind of talks about this. And if you do the discovery, you'll find that he actually had a very viable plan. It's like if you all of a sudden, what do you do when you have racked up so much debt that your creditors are going to come after you and everything is literally going to fall apart? Well, you go out and you get a company. There's all sorts of different companies that will help you heal your debt and help you consolidate everything. And they will help you live within your means so that you can get out of debt. And that's the same thing America is going to have to do. Maybe a little bit of austerity, but it is far better to go down that path than it is to be subjugated and to become slaves of a very evil. I'm telling you, look across the aisle at those people who are wired with subjugation. They will have zero tolerance for you. If you're not okay with becoming reckless and actually becoming a slave to the state, then you're going to be the problem and they're going to come after you as well. And they know that they're going to need to get rid of a lot of people. This is the conspiracy side of everything. And that's why they talk about these FEMA camps. They talk about who's going to be in charge of these FEMA camps and who's going to be occupying these things. That's how evil a lot of these people have taken this whole setup. And that's how evil this plan really can be. And the only thing that is keeping it from happening is whether we surrender or not. And if we don't surrender and we start standing up and we start walking back away from the cliff and start demanding everybody hold the contracts that we cherish, you know, dearly, then I will bet you that we'll not only be able to walk away from this, America will be a much stronger nation. So, as I was promising, the 17th Amendment, I'm not sure how many people know, but the 17th Amendment actually has a little conflict. And I could go into all the details, and I know that there's probably people out there that would probably love to, you know, get into all of the nitinoids. But the 17th Amendment, what it did was it changed a part of Article 1, Section 2 as to how the senators were selected. But it did not change Article 5. It only changed the process of how senators were to be selected. There was nothing in the 17th Amendment, and actually before I go into Article 5, it'd probably be best for me to just go ahead and read the 17th Amendment to you so that you kind of understand what it states. And so the 17th Amendment is this. And it was passed by Congress May 13th, 1912, and ratified April 8th, 1913. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, elected by the people thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislators. When vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of each state, which is the governor, shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislatures of the states may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election as the legislators may direct. This amendment shall not be construed as to affect the election of term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as the part of the Constitution. So in other words, that last little clause basically stated that no senator was going to lose, you know, they weren't going to reshuffle the deck. If they still had 4 years to serve, they would still have their 4 years to serve, and they would basically then have to run for election to, you know, move into this direct elected. Prior to this, the senators in the Senate, the U.S. Senate, were appointed by the state legislators. And the reason why, and if you look at the roles and responsibilities and powers that were given to the Senate in Article 1, those are very representative of protecting state interests. And nobody knows the state's interests better than those state legislators who are actually in there fighting for their state commerce, fighting for, you know, their development and their people, you know, in trying to harness resources and those types of things. Nobody knows what's really moving and going and shaking in the state better than the state legislators. And that's why it was very important that the state legislators were the constituents in appointing and having senators basically accountable to them and not to the general public. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So when we come back, we will talk about what this change did and how there's a conflict within the Constitution. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, really, I need to get back into this Sherman model, because Roger Sherman was the one who clearly identified with the Connecticut Compromise that the states were a constituent, that the people were a constituent. You weren't happy with your representation in government, then you voted that person out. If the states weren't happy with that person, then they would replace him with somebody else. And they had to go through the state legislators. And who votes for the state legislators? You, the people. And so if you read the Constitutional Convention arguments for this whole concept of the state legislators having the insights and having a better understanding of what would be best for the state, and in guaranteeing that that one body that had very specific roles and responsibilities, such as seating of the departments, the department heads, and the appointments, the advice and consent of the Senate for Supreme Cabinet members and Supreme Court nominees, and so forth and so on. And so the states were literally a constituent. If you understand constituency and suffrage, then your suffrage as a person is represented by your representative in the House of Representatives. The state's suffrage is supposed to be represented by the Senate. But that changed. And so here's what happened, and this is the conflict, that because if you go through, I believe it's the Congressional Globe, I think that was the record of the time when the 17th Amendment was being passed, the 16th, 17th, it may have been the Congressional Record by that point in time. I know that the 14th Amendment was Congressional Globe. I think it is the Congressional Record. Anyway, if you go through the debates in the House and in the Senate over the 17th Amendment, they clearly did not mention the suffrage of the state and the Amendment Protection Clause in Article 5. And this is what it says. That and this is basically, let me start this off with, that no amendment which may be made, and then dot, 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 because it goes through the 1808. And then it says, section, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So I'll connect the dots a little bit for you. Provided that no amendment which shall be made, that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Therefore, when the states went through this ratification and when they discussed this in Congress before it even went to the states, nowhere there did they acknowledge this amendment protection. Therefore, it didn't say anything in the 17th Amendment that says, even if you reject this, you will be forced to follow the 17th Amendment. They didn't put that in there. So technically, those states that never supported and or ratified, and there is a list of them, and let me go ahead and pull them up, because the ratification of the 17th Amendment... It was actually ratified by 42 states since the very beginning. The last, five states? Yeah, there's the last five states. So it was ratified by 37 states, and then or 36, and then the last five or six states actually ratified it well after it became supposedly the law of the land. The interesting thing is that Florida and Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Utah, which is a total of seven states, have not ratified it. And because they did not ratify it, they don't have to reject it. I know there's some people that argue, well, if they absolutely reject it, then they have not given their consent. No, if you have not given your consent, you have not given your consent. And so with this amendment protection clause that no amendments which shall be made, that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. If you understand what suffrage is, that means that you have representation voting on your behalf. As people, we have our representatives who are in Congress, in the House of Representatives, voting for our behalf. And that is our suffrage as people. In the Senate, the suffrage is representing and voting in behalf of the states, not the people. And so this Amendment Protection Clause, these seven states can literally, and I'll go through them again, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Utah actually have constitutional grounding to say we are no longer going to elect senators. We're going to go back to appointing senators. That's one way, because there's lots of people that are really anti-17th Amendment. I happen to be one of them. And I think anybody that understands the Constitution and bicameral legislative bodies and the two constituents and the genius of that form of government, that American republicanism that Sherman basically identified, we've got to get back to that. It is not necessarily the end-all thing, but we do need to get back to that, because then you've got the best stakeholders that are involved in what's going on in that body of Congress that is supposed to represent them. So like if we go to war and we the people aren't happy, we get rid of our congressmen that sent us to war, because they're the ones that have control over whether we're at war or not. The fact is that these seven states from Florida to Utah, and I'll give them again to you in just a second, but these seven states could literally stop allowing for voting and actually appoint their senators when their terms come up. That's what they should do. Now, here's the thing. In 2012, Maryland, it was Delaware, and it was 2010, July 1st, Delaware actually rejected this constitutional amendment. And then in July 1st, 2010, they actually rescinded their rejection and they voted for it. In other words, they were supporting the 17th Amendment in 2010. Well, So what happened was that the courts and Congress actually received that ratification and said, okay, we now acknowledge that you have ratified the Constitution. Well, when it comes to court and when it comes to our court systems, the court and the laws swing both ways. In other words, if one state is allowed to rescind its rejection, then another state that has ratified can equally rescind its ratification because they allowed it to swing one way. It has to swing both. What that means is that if you have Wyoming, if you've got Montana, if you have Oklahoma, Texas, and many of these red states that are very, very appalled by the 17th Amendment and what it has been doing in allowing globalists to sell us downriver, because that's where the Senate has those bodies of control within Congress. Again, it is the roles, responsibilities, and powers of the Senate that is critical, and that we've been allowing globalists to buy those seats. That's why those seats go for millions of dollars, regardless of how cheap and how poor the state is that's putting them in there. Globalists pay the top dollar for those seats because they're that important. Why? Because the Senate has the authority to ratify treaties and sell us downriver. And so we still have ways of getting, you know, well out of this because they haven't ratified really some bad treaties yet. But that doesn't mean that they won't very soon. And so what we need to do is I would love to see these seven states really literally challenging the 17th Amendment by saying, you know what, we do not have to comply to this. We're going to apply our suffrage and our protection based on Article 5 within the Constitution and not comply to this. And then I would like to see several states, whether that be Wyoming, whether that be Texas, Montana, Oklahoma, I think we can come up with the Dakotas. I think we can come up with enough states because we've already got seven that have failed to ratify, that have basically rejected it. And if we can get, 13 states. So we only need six more states to basically reject. And instead of having to, what do they call that? When you repeal an amendment, we don't have to repeal it by putting in another amendment because that would require 3/4 of the states to do that. All we need to do is just rescind ratifications and literally nullify the amendment by recension, because the states have the ability now with the courts, because the federal government accepted a change of ratification when they didn't need to. They could have, you know, Delaware just wanted to put their little progressive, you know, bragging lapel pin on, hey, we did it too. And thank you very much, Delaware, for doing that. Thank you very much, government, for accepting that, because the door has to swing both ways. And so I'm telling you that other states can now start rescinding, and I would love to see this floodgate open up and watch the panic in all these globalist senators who are sitting in these, you know, thrones at this mantle of power for the globalists, and realize that they will no longer be able to keep that position. You will talk about unleashing the fury of the deep state. A lot of bad things will probably come out, but that's how we can flush out the deep state. This is one of the ways of doing it. I hope Trump, somebody close to Trump, is hearing this, because this would literally cause shockwaves across the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.